Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there. It is Rusty. Today is March 20th. Welcome to Humpity Hump Day. Today we actually have some sun after another 8 inches of snow, which is exactly what I didn't need. But it is New England, and there's always a surprise. I wanted to just chat a little bit, hang out, and wait for Rory to come on from Turning Leaf. She is a life coach, and she specializes in ADD. And I thought that was an interesting topic. I know that there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I'm just emailing her now because she forgot. Oh, no. I know Amy's on the line, so good morning or good afternoon to you, Amy. How is the shoveling on your end of the world?
I'm pretty much done, except for I need to still do the mailbox, which I ran out of time. But my plow guy did finally come, so we got most of it done that way. But still have to, you know, get the stairs shoveled off and things. But just take it easy. And I'm pretty sure this should be the, I'm hoping the last significant storm. Yes. I told everyone we were going to have a snowy winter, and everyone's like, well, where is it? Huh? I'm like, well, don't say that. That was before the first blizzard.
Right. The first 22-inch blizzard. Yeah, it's been a crazy year. Last year was very calm and mild in comparison to this year.
It really was
very,
we were very blessed last year. It kind of, you know, petered right out, and this year is going out like a lion. So maybe it'll come in like a lamb next year.
I hope so. Any new adventures in your world? I have a boatload in mine.
Oh, yeah, I have a few. I'm still working with the chocolate very slowly, but I'm going to be traveling a little bit. I'll be going probably to Florida at some point to visit my mother, and going out to Utah to the Young Living Convention, which is the oils that I use, and Wayne Dyer is going to be a keynote speaker. So that's very exciting for me. And also, I don't know if I'm going to be, so we'll see. I've been invited to train with some people that I that are like big in my corner of the world, and I'm very excited about that. So I'll be going out to meet them, and so that's going to be a good trip for me. Although my daughter just moved back from Utah, as you know, so I was hoping to spend time with her out there. But I'll be meeting some friends, and so I'm happy for spring, though. Today's the first day of spring, even though it doesn't look it.
That's right. So feel free to call in. We're just going to chit-chat amongst all of you until Rory dials in. She's running a little behind. The number here is 347-205-9443. And again, you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
Hi. So in a couple of weeks, I'm headed to L.A. for the Grilled Cheese Invitational. I still am baffled about this event, a huge event, just trying to perfect the grilled cheese. So that's interesting.
Like the kind of event.
Right? And then I'm looking at May, headed down to Florida to meet some clients, so that'll be fun to get me out of this wintry weather. And I've finished editing my book. The editor has received it, doing one more comb over, and it looks like I'm shooting for June, just in case. So that'll be out. And the first half of the book is about me and my life, and then the second half of the book, worksheets, things to ponder over and try and experiment in order to inspire and heal yourself. And so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Very
finally,
cool.
So
I can read it on my camping trip.
That's right. And you'll have to do the worksheets that I've included because they're fun. And, you know, I really have kept it down to about 250 pages. So
great.
It should be a quick read, emotional. You've read part of it.
Yes,
way
I
back
have,
when.
And I've been in, anticipating reading the full book.
Yeah, so that'll be very exciting. And feel free, if you want to keep up with me, I'm starting to schedule some motivational speaking events across the country. And yes, my friends in Ireland and Italy, I'm working towards you, I promise. But once the book is published, I will have a calendar of events on my website, rustymacdonald.com, so that you can pop by and give me a hug and a high five, because I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you. So thank you very much. I'm so grateful. I believe Rory has tuned in. Good morning or afternoon, Rory. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you for joining us today. We're finally getting some sun here in New Hampshire.
Yes, finally.
How is your shoveling? Because I think you're further north than I am.
It made for a very long morning.
Exactly right. And it's heavy snow, too, because it's warming up.
Yes. We're happy for the delay in our school.
Right. So, Rory, give our audience a little idea of who you are and what you do.
Well, I am a mom who has two ADD children. They're both teenagers. I'm the wife of someone with ADD, and I'm an ADD coach. I also have it myself. So you could say that I'm literally surrounded by ADD. And what I do is I help people learn about their ADD, get comfortable with it, understand how to manage it, and kind of overcome the idea that having ADHD is a bad thing.
So tell us a little bit about what is this ADD-ADHD?
Well, it's attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. I use the term kind of interchangeably. They really mean the same thing now. The official term is ADHD, and it really describes a set of problems that people have. It's kind of a misnomer because it's not really a problem with attention. Attention deficit makes it seem like you can't pay attention. It's not really about that. It's about being able to function the way you need to in certain circumstances. And people who have ADD, their brains just don't check in the same way that neurotypical people do.
Okay. Now, back in the old days when I was teaching, we were called special educators. Now they're paraeducators. there was a differential between ADD and ADHD. And I want to say in the last 8 years, they just made it completely official that it's ADHD. Why do you think that they changed that? What were the factors?
I'm not really sure. I think that it really just made it a little more confusing because there's actually three different kinds of ADHD. There's one that's hyperactive, so those are what most people would consider typical ADD. They're the kids who have trouble, like, sitting still and being quiet. And if you're an adult, it manifests a little bit differently, but it's having that really hyperactive part of it. Then mm-hmm. there's inattentive, which is a completely different external view of ADD. You don't have the hyperactivity. But even if you have that kind now, it still has the H in the title. And mm-hmm. then you can also have a combination of both inattentive and hyperactive.
Okay. So what do you recommend as a coach?
Well, the first thing is always to really understand how ADHD affects your life. One thing that when I got diagnosed, because I didn't get diagnosed until I was in my 30s, and my diagnosis came right before both of my children and then my husband, so I was the first one. I really knew nothing about ADD, and when the therapist that I was working with suggested that might be the reason I was in therapy, she said, you know, what do you know about ADD? And I said, nothing good. And for me, I think that is the biggest challenge that people face when some medical practitioner says the words attention deficit disorder about someone in your family. Because there's so much misinformation, so many myths about what it is, what it means, what causes it, what makes it better. So my biggest thing, my first goal with every client that I work with is really to help them understand how ADHD affects them, because it's very individual and situational condition. So you can't paint a picture of this is a typical person with ADD, because there's no such thing as that. So that, to me, is the biggest first step, is really understanding that most of what you know about it is probably not right.
So why don't you help us with some of the mythology? Help us understand a little deeper as to what it is, how it affects your life. How do you even know that you have it or find out? Are there symptoms?
Yes, there are some common symptoms. And I think one of the challenges, and it's one of the reasons that there's a lot of talk about like the rise in diagnosis right now and people who feel like they were misdiagnosed, or is it's because it doesn't show up exactly the same in every person. So there are some common features. Hyperactivity would be one of them. Impulsivity, having trouble kind of not acting on every impulse, is another one. Being or seeming to be easily distracted. So if you can't sit still in class, can't pay attention in class, have trouble paying attention in meetings. Memory is another one, and that's one of the lesser-known ones. Some people with ADHD have trouble with working memory, which is the kind of memory that you're going to the store with a list of things that you need to get, and by the time you get to the store, you can't remember half of what was on the list.
I thought it was just my age.
Well, and I think that's another part that's so critical to understanding ADD, is that everyone has a little ADD, because what it is a problem with executive functioning. So executive functioning is the part of your brain that does things like helps you stay on task, helps you remember things, all of those things. So one of the things that I hear the most whenever I give a talk or am part of an awareness event is people coming up saying, well, I forget my keys all the time. I, you know, go to the store and forget what I have. The difference between kind of regular forgetfulness or distractedness or any of the symptoms of ADD and having ADD is the amount to which it impacts your life and the fact that it has been there your whole life. So when you're getting diagnosed, one of the things that they look at is, has this always been a part of your life? So it's,
so
not,
it's not something that you can develop later in life?
It doesn't develop later in life. If you have ADD, you have ADD. You had it when you were a kid. You have it when you're an adult. The difference is some people learn to manage it as they get older. So for a long time, they thought that only kids had it, and that as you grew up, you kind of grew out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really what happens. It's that it really, because it's so individual and so specific, if your deficits or the places where you struggle because of your ADD are things that you figure out how to manage because you get the right job or marry the right person or, you know, just find strategies that work for you, then it can appear as if your ADD goes away. But it's something that you, your brain is wired differently than someone who is neurotypical. So it's not, you don't get it when you're older. You might not be diagnosed until you're older because it really depends on when it starts impacting you, if you find the right therapist, if they know enough about ADD to pick up on the fact that that might be what's going on.
Right. So I find it interesting because the last time I had cable many years ago, they were running commercials for adult ADD.
Yes.
Huh.
Well, it's something that it was only recognized, like the FDA only approved the use of ADD medication on adults within the last 10 or 15 years. So for a long time, people just didn't acknowledge that it was something that exists, which is really unfortunate for people who weren't lucky enough to figure out that, you know, how to make their life work for them, because there's a lot of downsides that can come with having ADD, like your risk of being incarcerated is much greater than if you don't have it. Your risk of unplanned pregnancy. Like, every horrible thing that could mess up the rest of your life is worse when your odds of getting of it happening to you are higher when you have ADD.
There's a higher addiction risk, too. I was reading, yeah. It was like 75% higher than somebody who doesn't have ADD.
Yep, and part of that is
that just strategically coping?
And it's also a coping. It's that we also have a much higher rate of depression, and that's because it's depressing when no one in your world understands you, and no matter how hard you try to do all the things that everyone else does, they don't work for you. And if you don't have the understanding of, it's not that you're broken, it's not that you're lazy, it's not that you're crazy, or any of the negative messages that people who have ADD get before they know what's up. It's just that your brain works differently. And so trying to act like a neurotypical is probably not going to work for you and at least part of your life.
Interesting. So what kinds of, from my past experience, some children with ADD can be very aggressive, quickly angered. And I know, and I've watched some of my clients and some of my students really struggle with the parenting aspect and just the overall stress that can add into your life. What kinds of coping aspects, recommendations do you have for parents who have a little bit more of the spectrum, the higher end of the spectrum?
Well, the first thing would be to really learn about ADD and how it affects kids. Even now, like, my son's pediatrician says he doesn't have to take his medicine all the time if he doesn't want to. And, I mean, that's my personal choice for him. If he doesn't want to take it, I don't make him take it. But what it implies is that ADD only affects school, which is not a true thing. If that were true, it would only affect things that happen in school. So that's my first piece of advice, is really understand ADD, understand all of the different ways that it can impact life. Being angered easily, aggressive behavior, all of, like, having trouble with anger management are all common ADD things. Some of it is an impulse control problem, but some of it is the frustration of trying to communicate in a way that other people don't understand. Of not being able to express why your experience is different from what everyone else is. One of the things that I talk a lot about, especially with new clients, is that we each kind of come to our perception of the world through the life that we have. So if you don't have ADD, it's really hard to understand what it's like to have it. It's the same for us. People who have ADD, it's really hard to understand what it's like to be neurotypical. The difference for us is we have examples all around us of what we're supposed to be like. There isn't a lot of that for people who are trying to understand ADD. So really, if you have someone in your life who has it, that's the most helpful thing that you could do for them, is to learn about it and understand that a lot of the time, if they're doing something that you don't want them to, or not doing the things that you want them to, it's probably because they can't, not because they won't. So the second thing I would recommend for parents specifically is to understand that discipline doesn't work the same way for a lot of ADD kids, because, like, a lot of the disciplinary measures that we use are things that require you to be able to access your memory, kind of learn from your mistakes. That's a lot of people with ADD struggle with. So those kinds of disciplinary actions aren't going to be effective, because if you can't take something that you've learned right now and apply it to something that happens 2 weeks from now, you could ground me for the rest of my life, and I'll never do something different. And it's not because I'm being rebellious. It's not because I'm being defiant. It's because my brain doesn't make that transition the way that yours does. So understanding that discipline might need to be different, and what kinds of disciplinary tactics work with ADD kids.
And could you go into some of those?
Well, this is always part of the struggle, is that it really depends on what your child is struggling with. So an example from my life, when my oldest son was getting diagnosed, it was because the main thing that helped us get his diagnosis is that he's, like, super brilliant, has always tested off the charts, but he was failing eighth grade. And the reason he was failing eighth grade is because he could not remember to turn his homework in. And I tried all of the traditional stuff. I tried punishments. I tried incentives. I tried reminding him, like, everything. And what finally worked for him was a combination of ADD meds, and he writes stuff on his hand. Now, most people would be like, you know, that's not an acceptable way, or, you know, you should be able to do it a different way. But for him, that's what works. So kind of letting go of my preconceived notion of what he should do and finding something that works for him. That's really the only way to find the kind of disciplinary or incentives or whatever it is that you're trying to help your child manage. It's finding the thing that works for them, regardless of whether or not you think it's the right thing.
Right, and that is true. I work with ADD children as well, with aromatherapy, which seems to work pretty well. My daughter is now an adult, so the child that, you know, I've been dealing with ADD, now I'm transitioning into adult ADD. and it's a little bit different because it seems to be, to me anyway, it seems to be the same issues, but now she's in an adult world. So, you know, that's where I'm struggling because I'm trying not to, like, be too, like, watchful over her because she is an adult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to let her be an adult, but at the same time, I'm like, oh.
It's hard. The stakes are
very
higher.
Hard.
The stakes are a lot higher when you're an adult. You know, if you forget to turn your homework in, you might get a lower grade. But if you forget to pay your bills, you might lose your house. Like,
right. You know,
The stakes are much higher when you're an adult. And depending on your attitude and the kind of support that you've had growing up, like, you may be resistant to trying to change things. You may be resistant to people helping you. Like, there are a lot. Those to me are the biggest challenges of having ADD as an adult. Trying to kind of accept the fact that I'm different. I cannot do things the same way that other people do. And not being angry about that. Like, why should it be so hard for me to do these things that are so simple for other people?
Now, do you think that you just said something that is emotionally driven? Why am I angry because I can't do things that are simple for other people? How do we? That's, I think, the largest root of the problem with most learning disabilities or differences. Is that feeling of, well, somebody else can do it better than me. How do we get to the root of that? Do you think it's social? Do you think it's parenting? Do you think, because I think if we got to the root of that thinking, it would probably alleviate some of that pressure for people with ADD and other differences, but
I think that it's everything. I think that I was really lucky that I grew up with parents who kind of went with the flow. I'm pretty sure they both have ADD too. I don't have a lot of the baggage, even though I wasn't diagnosed as a kid, that a lot of adults who kind of struggled through school and struggled through job loss and failed marriages, like all of the baggage that can come if you're an adult and you get diagnosed. But I think that it's everything. It's changing the way that parents who have ADD kids understand the condition and what needs to be done to help them. It's helping people who have it kind of see that it's not a bad thing. Like, one of the things I do with my clients is really help them focus on what gifts they have, because ADD isn't just a deficit thing. Oftentimes we can do things better and faster than other people in some areas. So it's about focusing on the fact that there are good things and there are things that you have to do differently, and that there's nothing wrong with that. Like, having to go about managing your time in a different way doesn't mean anything other than that you have to go about it differently. And it's changing the way that the medical field looks at it. It's literally every attitude about ADD. It's one of the things that I'm the most passionate about is raising awareness for the fact that it's just a version of neurodiversity. Having an ADD brain doesn't mean that you have to be fixed. It just means that you have a brain that works differently than neurotypical people.
What would you provide as an inspirational moment, a breakthrough for you and your family, or coaching, whatever you prefer to share, with this process of learning about ADD? Like, what is an inspirational moment? Do you have something that's really stuck out over the years going through this process?
I think for me personally, the breakthrough came kind of out of nowhere, which was one day, you know, after I'd been diagnosed and was kind of learning about ADD and what it meant and deciding if I was going to have my kids take medication and all that, I remember I was walking up my stairs, and I have a whole bunch of pictures on the side of my stairwell, and I saw this picture of me and my kids. And at the time, I was a single mom. I was a single mom for most of their lives. And so it was just the three of us. And I remember, like, I had this moment where I'm looking at that picture, and it occurred to me that the life that I have, like, in my mind that I'm supposed to be living or that I should be living and the life that I have are not anywhere near the same. And that's not because of anything other than I'm not explaining this well. So the picture that I have in my head of what I was supposed to be, what a family meant and all of that, the person that would have been me in that picture wasn't actually me. So what that did is it kind of released me from all of these expectations of how I was supposed to be or should be or like what was the right thing to do. And it freed me up to just be who we were. That for me was the most powerful thing, was kind of seeing that picture, that the person in the picture that I was trying to be wasn't actually who I wanted to be anyway. For one of my kids, my younger son, the most kind of inspirational moment for me was understanding that some of the biggest challenges that he has in school are related to how he processes information. He's an oral processor, a verbal processor, which means he needs to talk in order to kind of process information the best way. So some people are visual, some people are auditory. He's verbal. And so he was always getting in trouble in school because he would not stop talking. He wouldn't get his work done because he was talking. And once I kind of understood that about him, we were able to do things like his homework would take him 4 hours and end up in tears and it wouldn't be done, to his homework would take him 20 minutes, just by understanding that one little difference about how his brain works and how he prefers to get information. Is that
very
what you're
cool.
Looking for?
That's
yep.
Very interesting.
Yep, absolutely. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
And we are on the phone with Rory of Turning Leaf Coaching, and she's going to give us how we can reach her in a moment. But if you want to call her now, she's live and in Snowland, Blizzardom, as we call it. The number here is 347-205-9443. And Rory, that's your cue to tell us how we find you.
Well, you can find me on the web at www.turningleafcoaching.com. You can email me, It's Rori, R-O-R-I, at turningleafcoaching.com. I'm on Facebook under Turning Leaf Coaching, and I'm on Twitter. It's easier to just get that from my Facebook. And you can always call me. My number is 603-731-9071.
Very cool. So are you touring anywhere, speaking? Are there public events that are coming up that you want to announce?
Not right now. I do offer weekly webinars that do talk about things like basics of ADD, time management tips, and what the next one's coming up will start in April. And that schedule is available on the website and on my Facebook page.
All right, very cool. Amy, did you have a question? I heard you peeping in there.
Oh, no, I just said that was really cool because I'm studying with ADD. With children specifically, you know, it'd be good to have some people, experts in the field that, because now I'm starting to explore the adult arena and working with people with adult ADD issues. So that's very interesting what you've been talking about, because I recognize a lot of things in different people that you were talking about, and some auditory, and it's really funny when you say when you just get that, because when I got that about my daughter, how I handled her was completely different.
Yeah, it can make a huge difference.
Yeah, it is. It does make a difference when you have to step back and, okay, you have to almost do the opposite of what you think you need to do sometimes for them to either understand or for them to get, like you said, to get their message out to you. And they usually are very brilliant children in what I've seen. They're usually very, very smart in a lot of ways, usually in the arts. They're very, very strong in the arts.
Yes, creativity is definitely something that is a trait of having ADD.
Yes.
So, Rori, talk to us a little bit about, you know, medications versus dietary changes versus, I know that there is a spectrum of, mm-hmm. I'm personally not a medication person. But I know that it's there for a reason. So what kinds of tools do people use, in a broad sense, for handling the ADD better?
Well, medication is one of them. It is, and it's the most effective. What I say to my clients is that I'm medication neutral. I work with people who don't take medication. I work with people who do. We choose to because it's very effective for us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was really important to me to understand is that unlike some of the medications that you use for depression or other kind of mental health conditions,
mm-hmm.
ADD meds work if you take them today, and then they go away. Like you don't have to take them for weeks to build it up in your system. So some of the concerns that I might have had went away for me when I really understood, but it's a personal decision. I can tell you that it is the most effective way to manage ADD if they work for you. There's about 20% of people who have ADD that none of the medications work for them,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the reasons that coaching is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And coaching is important even if you take medication. Coaching is the second most effective treatment and way to learn to manage, because I think it's one of the common misconceptions, and it's one of the reasons that taking meds for ADD has gotten such a bad rap over the years, is that like Adderall is not a magic pill. If you give a child with ADD Adderall, it is not going to magically make all of their behaviors and attitudes and everything the way that they would be if they were neurotypical. What meds do for someone with ADD is help kind of, the best way I can describe it is it helps slow your brain down so that you can then implement strategies to help you overcome whatever the symptom or challenge or deficit is that you're trying to overcome. So That's one of the things that I tell anyone who's even considering medication is that for most people with ADD, medication is not the only thing that you need to do. It can make it easier to understand where ADD is affecting you and then implement strategies that you would learn in therapy or coaching or whatever other thing that you choose to do. Things like meditation, yoga, relaxation techniques, all of those can be really helpful for people with ADD if they can find a way to do them that works for them. It can be really hard to meditate if you can't sit still. But and the reason that those things are helpful is that they help you stay present. They help you kind of learn to slow your own brain down, which is one of the most important things if you're struggling with impulse control. If you're struggling to try to stay kind of focused while you're in class, some of those techniques can be really helpful. Some things like diet can also be helpful. I personally don't think for the reasons that that a lot of people think they do. It's not that diet causes ADD or diet cures ADD. It's that when you have ADD, anything that kind of stresses you or your body out makes your symptoms worse. Like stress is an ADD person's worst nightmare. So if you are overly sensitive to sugar already, like kind of on its own, cutting your sugar level in your diet is going to help your ADD symptoms because it's less stress on your body. So there's absolutely a place for using diet and helping ADD, but it's not a cure. Just like meds aren't a cure, any of those things. There's no magic pill. It's finding the things that work for the person who's struggling with it.
And so what I'm understanding is a multi-layered approach reduces the symptoms. So if you choose to medicate and watch the things that you put in your diet, like I couldn't imagine caffeine or sugar being something that would be a benefit. It's not a benefit for people without ADD, but much less I would think that would be more of an irritant for somebody who's already impulsive. And then something, another layer of yoga or EFT, which I've heard is very effective, meditation, that type of thing. So that multi-layered approach has a great result?
I would say yes if you add coaching to that mix. So all of those things kind of help give you a little bit more control over kind of what your brain is doing, but you still have to be able to know how to do the things that you need to do, and that's really where coaching comes in. So the analogy that I use for meds, but it really applies to if you're using diet and relaxation and yoga and all of those things that kind of are meant to help give you a pause and help you kind of slow things down. It's like, so having ADD is like sitting in a room where all the walls are spinning. Those things help slow the room down so that then I can see the doors and have the ability to make a conscious decision. I still have to get up, know which door to pick, open the door, and go out. And that's really where coaching comes in, is helping you find the strategies that work for you to go along with the other things that you're doing to help slow your brain down. But you really need both pieces to find the best management strategy for you.
That's very, very cool. Amy, did you have any thoughts?
Well, I'm glad that you pointed that out because in the minimal work that I do with ADD patients is exactly that. You know, I look at the medication, I look at what they're eating, I look at their patterns, what's triggering their ADD symptoms to become worse and their anxiety to become worse. Sometimes they're not just taking ADD medication, they're taking anxiety medications, and sometimes a combination of those don't interact well. You know, you have to look at that kind of thing also. And I use aromatherapy for that slow down mechanism. That's my slowdown mechanism, but you're absolutely right. You have to give them some kind of coaching in order so for them to take the next step. You know, you can calm them down and everything with medication or aromatherapy or relaxation techniques, but they have to know what the next step is. So I'm glad that there's some coaching out there and that there's, you know, getting more and more availability because, you know, the people that if they get the right training, so to speak, or know how to, what works for them, that's what the words were you were using, what works for them individually. Every individual is different, and that's so true.
Yeah. The other two things that I should have mentioned that I forgot are sleep and exercise. Exercise is critically important for people with ADD because it is another way to kind of provide that slowdown. The endorphins, it can increase your dopamine levels, which is one of the reasons, one of the things that causes ADD is that your dopamine is not the same level as someone who's neurotypical. So exercise is critical and getting enough sleep, which is really hard for people with ADD. We chronically have a lot of issues with sleep. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, so and you're available in what area?
I coach people all over the country. I do in-person coaching primarily in New Hampshire, but coaching for ADD can be just as effective over the phone, and actually for some people it's more effective over the phone because it forces them to pay attention in a different way. So I have clients that are, I have one in Canada and several across the country in New Hampshire.
Well, that's good. You had mentioned webinars as well, which is really interesting because that would be a way for people that do have time constraints to be able to get that that coaching that they need. That's really great to hear. It's getting out there in different ways.
So are you working with the school system at all? Rory, are you participating in some of the winter conferences, teacher workshops, that type of thing?
I don't do a lot in the schools. The clients that I work with the most are older, are college students and adults and couples who have ADD present. What I have done in the past in some of the schools is I actually go in and talk. Like I talked at Guilford Middle School about a year and a half ago, I think it was, to the paraprofessionals to really just give them kind of an overview of ADD from an ADD perspective and a lot of strategies for how to help their students that have ADD. And I've done that at some of the community colleges as well. So that's my primary involvement in the school. I'm always happy to go talk to parents, talk to educators.
Very cool. Now, coaching outside of parenting, so like baseball coaches, soccer coaches, kind of the community involvement that we try to encourage our kids to participate in, do you have any recommendations for people who are really not that familiar but they do play that role as coach?
I would say the first thing would be to sign up for one of my ADD 101 free webinars just because the intent is to give you a basic overview of ADD and then work with if you have a child on your team who has ADD, work with their parents to find out, like, are there things that help them pay attention, help them focus, help them interact? Communication can be a real problem for people with ADD, so do they need communication to be done in a specific way? Like, what can you do as a coach to help that child be successful on your team? That would be my recommendation. But, again, it's just learn. Like, learn as much as you can about the reality of ADD rather than the picture of it that's most often presented in the media.
Very cool. And the last question I have for you is we're wrapping it up, and you have plenty of time about 8 minutes to let us know what you think. What is the one major thing that you would like everyone to get from this radio show?
A better awareness of ADD, that it's not caused by bad parenting. It's not caused by red food dye. It's not caused by the school system or the teachers or TV, that it is a neurological difference. It's completely based in biology, and that there's nothing wrong with people who have it. It's just a different way of operating in the world, and that there are strengths to having ADD, there are struggles to having ADD, and that people who have it can be just as successful, productive, contributing as anyone else. They just may have to do it a different way, and that finding that way is the key to being successful. That would be my main message.
And Rory, where does everybody find you? Give us your information again.
You can find me on the internet at www.turningleafcoaching.com. You can email me at Rory, R-O-R-I, at turningleafcoaching.com. On Facebook, under Turning Leaf Coaching. And you can always call me at 603-731-9071.
Very cool. And I don't know if you remember me. I met you about a year ago at a spring fair in Portsmouth.
Oh, right. Yep.
Long time ago. But I'm glad that we were finally able to make this connection and that you were able to talk a little bit about ADD. It's a large topic, and it is confusing for some and frustrating for others. And there is a lot of mythology surrounding this subject, but it's ever so important to educate before making, you know, keeping that mythology alive. I think we're really at a place where we have so many resources, but not all of them are accurate. So it's nice that you were able to take your adversity and design it into something that is fulfilling and helpful for so many other people. So kudos to you and high five.
Well, thank you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my message and try to change even one person's mind about ADD.
Absolutely. Amy, did you have any questions for her?
No, I'm just glad that we made that connection, because I'll certainly be popping in on your website often.
Well, and I believe Rory's not too far, so you guys might actually be able to have tea together.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, because
try to coordinate that.
I work with a lot of people that don't even know they have ADD, and you discover the different patterns and, you know, recognize that. And once they realize that, you know, they can do something about it, watching them feel empowered is really great. But it is a very delicate balance.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, it is Humpity Hump Day here in Living and Thriving Land. And we had the privilege of being able to talk to Rory Boyce of Turning Leaf Coaching. And that's just really cool. Cool stuff, great inspiration. Everybody get out there and do something exciting. And I posted on Facebook today a beautiful motivational video that says, get up, don't give up. And Rory is a perfect example of that mentality. You just keep moving forward and doing it in a positive way. Next week, I am not only without co-host, but I'm without subject matter. So it will be a surprise, the mystery Wednesday of the month and the last Wednesday of the month. It just is blowing by fast. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have some crocuses croaking up out of the ground. And
it's the first day of spring.
No, I know. So happy spring, everybody. Please know that I love you. You are beautiful. And until next week, mystery Wednesday ahead. Take care.
Be well, everyone.